Welcome back. It's 1221 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And a pleasure once again to welcome to the program Dr. Ben Carson, Professor Emeritus of Neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University, author of the forthcoming book, One Nation, and he's also a Washington Times columnist. Dr. Ben, how are you?
I am doing extremely well.
Energy's role in the path to peace. That's the title of today's offering in the Washington Times. We should have seen Putin coming, is that what you say? Maybe some of us did, and others, those in power, didn't?
Well, you know, he's a pretty aggressive guy. And, you know, when we look at the tactics that he used against Georgia, you know, 6 years ago, that should have sent alarms all over the place. And, you know, just the way that he's been reacting to things around the world, he's clearly trying to reestablish, you know, a Soviet empire. Of the nature that was there before. And people have perhaps forgotten, because it's been a quarter of a century ago since the end of the Cold War, but that was not a pleasant situation. And we had to do a lot of strategic chess playing, and it required a lot of our resources. Why would we allow that situation to redevelop again?
Yeah.
But we're in the process of doing it. And weak leadership has consequences. There's no question about that.
It's very sad, our role in the world today. Here we are. We're the people who convinced Ukraine we'd be the protector. They gave up their weapons, and now we're letting them down.
Exactly. And the worst thing about that is there isn't anybody in the world who isn't seeing that. So our guarantees of protection mean absolutely nothing. And that only enhances the position of our enemies. You know, this is not PhD level world geopolitics. This is common sense. Anybody should be able to see what's going on, and yet we don't do anything. I mean, look at all the commonsensical things that we just let go by. For instance, you know, last week with the IRS scandal, and Eric Holder says it's all right if we investigated it ourselves, and it's okay if we appoint somebody who's a big supporter of the administration. I mean, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. It sure is. And, you know, the other thing related to Ukraine is we know, because the president told the world that we weren't going to do anything militarily.
Exactly.
He goes on a TV station in San Diego, you know, 10 days ago and says, hey, you know, well, no, military intervention? No, 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 that's not going to happen. Well, you know, Putin right then and there is saying, okay, thank you.
Exactly. And that's the reason that I say at least let's deal with it economically if we're not going to deal with it in any other way. And actually, economics is probably the best way. We have so much energy. You know, in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana, it's estimated that we have 8 times more oil than they have in Saudi Arabia. I mean, we have enough oil we could just use oil, export oil, do anything we want for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is we also need to be developing other kinds of energy technology. And we need to loosen some of all the regulatory garbage that is going on that stifles our innovation and our creativity. A few weeks ago, the last lead smelting plant was closed in this country because the EPA comes down and says, you violated this, puts a stranglehold on, you can pay all these gazillions of dollars, or you can close. So they close. You know, basically, by putting regulations on everything, what they can do is choose whoever they want to open, whoever they want to close over time. We're being strangled slowly without realizing it.
You indicated that our energy independence is something that is so important right now, and Germany comes to mind in that they are so dependent on Russian energy that if we were in a position to offer them what we had right now, it would definitely be applying pressure to Putin, but we just don't have that.
Exactly, and we could develop that pretty quickly. And right now, even if we were to say, okay, we'll take care of that, they wouldn't believe us, you know, based upon our track record. So we need to just go ahead and do it and demonstrate what we can do. And there's some urgency to this.
Yeah.
And I don't think that our leader actually recognizes it. Or maybe he does recognize it.
Yeah.
That's even more worrisome.
Yeah, I know. That's another problem. Speaking of other problems, What about not having your financial house in order when you owe as much as we do? And when you carry $17 trillion in debt, it certainly makes you vulnerable, doesn't it?
That is such a staggering number. And, you know, the borrower is servant to the lender. We do have to treat people differently if we owe them tremendous amounts of money. It compromises everything that we do. And I, again, this is not economics 611. This is economics 101. And we're operating at such an infantile level on the world stage, I would imagine others are probably laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do so much better. And if our leadership would just throw politics out and say, look, we got a lot of really smart people who know about this stuff. How about I sit down and listen to them? And let's have a conversation about what our options are. Let's not be so secretive about everything. I mean, let's actually see if we can be partially transparent. I seem to remember him saying something about that.
Yeah,
years ago.
He sure did.
You know, I think we could do extremely well on the world geopolitical scene in terms of developing our energy, not only to make ourselves independent, but by exporting it to the European Union and other places that need it, we can start making major inroads into our national debt, which then strengthens our hand in virtually everything.
Mm-hmm. Our allies are worried about us. Many have publicly spoken out just recently, and there is an indication not all is well with our perceived image around the world. Here's my question to you, though. We have three more years of the Barack Obama presidency. Can we wait that long?
Well, what we have to do in November is absolutely move a lot of the people out who staunchly support the policies that he's putting forward. And I believe that is going to happen. But I think once that does happen, you can't sort of relax. You've got to start being aggressive in terms of proposing things. You know, the legislative branch is the legal branch of government. They're the ones who make the laws. Now, he may say, I'll just veto everything that they do. Let them. And the more he does that, the more he's going to irritate not only the opposition, but the members of his own party. And he's going to make things so obvious. And they also have the ability to block what he's doing. And if you can keep things under control until 2016, I think you'll be okay.
Dr. Ben, always good to talk to you. Folks, if you haven't read the story, it's in today's Washington Times in the commentary section, Energy's Role in the Path to Peace. You'll want to check that out. Ben, we'll talk next week. Thank you.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Andy.
1229, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Still to come, Charlie Hurt will be along about 12:45. His question today is, do liberals understand anything about operating a business? And coming up in just about 5 minutes or so, very special occasion here at the Washington Times because I am celebrating Nancy Pelosi's birthday today, and I put together somewhat of a tribute, a soundbite tribute to Nancy Pelosi. I think you'll want to hear it. Then again, maybe you won't. Stay tuned.